Hey everyone, and welcome to Kessel Run Weekly. My name is Danny.
I'm Heather.
And today we've got an awesome show for you. First off, happy May the 4th.
May the 4th be with you.
Oh, my favorite day, my Star Wars day. And also, my mom's birthday is actually today, May the 4th. Yeah, so the Force is obviously with her because, I mean, there's me. No, I'm just playing. So happy birthday, Mom.
Happy birthday, Mom.
And so we got a really cool show for you today because May the 4th is all about the Force. First off, we're going to talk about Star Wars Battlefront 2 because we haven't talked about that yet. Yes. A lot of cool stuff from that. We have some cool segments coming up for you. Like I said, all about the Force. So we're going to be talking about the Force. Pretty ambiguous, I know, but you'll like it when it comes to it. So I guess we're going to go ahead and we're going to start with Battlefront 2.
Yes.
Cool?
Yes. I'm excited for this. I have not seen the trailer.
Oh, man. See, I've seen it in parts because I saw it at Star Wars Celebration, but I didn't make it to that panel. So I kind of saw it in passing, but I guess as many times as I've seen it in as many different parts, I kind of can piece it together. So I'll kind of be watching it for the first time with you.
Oh, cool.
We avenge our emperor.
Ideas away.
Hope cannot save them.
Wow.
Who's got chills? Like that was.
Yeah.
Awesome. Ooh, he's back.
Awesome. Wow.
Yeah. So yeah, with the canon and everything, I think it's really cool that they're not even putting it through a hero's eyes or anything. Not even the rebellion, like what we got to see a little bit from Rogue One.
But they are heroes.
That's true.
But I mean, because think about it. You're on their side. They are a hero.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Because I mean, I thought that was a weird choice during Rogue One too, what Krennic said that the Ursos would be. They're like as prisoners, or he said that he was going to take them. She was like, as prisoners, she goes, no, as heroes of the Empire.
Yes.
And stuff like that. And so, I mean, yeah, from their point of view, I mean, obviously this Imperial officer is super dedicated to the Empire. From her point of view, she's right. And these are all terrorists, and these are all people who are, they're the ones terrorizing Galaxy, not the Empire. So that's going to be an interesting perspective to see from that side, because thinking about it, I don't know that we've gotten to see anything from that side, really. As far as, like, from that point of view of the Empire. It's always been the Empire's the big bad.
Right. And I'm really looking forward to this. To just watching the boys play it and, you know, it'll be
you
got
to play it. What?
I've tried so many video games in every fandom. You don't understand. But I'll try it.
Sounds good.
I'll try it.
I don't have a super fast PC, but maybe we can figure something out. Like I'll be at like low grade, like if it were a CRTV kind of graphics if we did a PC, but you know.
All right, so May the 4th, and I think that it's all about the Force. And what is the Force? What do you think the Force is?
It's a force, or it's a power that surrounds us.
Yes.
Binds us.
Yes.
Penetrates us.
To me, it is like neutrinos. They're everywhere. They pass right through everything. Okay. If they could possibly manipulate, if you could possibly manipulate them enough that they could create a massive, you know, and then they could move things, or they could rewire the chemicals in your brain to do certain things, or
to not find the droids that you're looking for.
To not find the droids that you're looking for.
Okay. I like that.
Okay. So granted, neutrinos probably isn't it. That's just my analogy, but they're, I mean, we're being bombarded with them.
Mm-hmm. I mean, everybody knows they're really midichlorians.
Right. So. Exactly. So,
yeah.
And then your midichlorian level is kind of like the more you develop it, the more you, you know, really. Mm-hmm. I think that's how it works. Do you have.
That's an interesting theory I've never heard before, actually.
That's how I feel.
Well, I mean, in technically, too, I mean, even though I was kind of joking earlier, I mean, technically, too, what Obi-Wan and what Yoda have said in canon about it surrounding us and penetrating us and binding us together. I mean, as far as that relates to our world, I mean, not to ground the fantasticalness of the Force, but at the same time, like, it's cool to think of it that way, right. That there could be a Force.
There could be a Force. You never know.
I mean, I want a Force. Like, I have stuff over the other side of the room that I would love to just, like, have here now.
Exactly.
And then sometimes I want to Force choke people. There's that, too. So it's probably better not to have the Force in that instance.
Right. But, but I just, you know, I think that that's just how I, if we could somehow harness something of that nature, you know, it wouldn't be out of the complete realm of possibility ever, maybe. Not to this extent that they take it, obviously.
Well, there you go. I think that's our next project, trying to harness the Force.
We're going to have to try to harness the Force.
Oh, I'm down with that. Any scientists or researchers or engineers listening to this? Harness the Force.
Harness the Force. I'm sure there's been plenty on it, and we're just...
But I like that, though. It's cool, because, like, even though there's the mysticism and everything to Star Wars, where it seems like it's a whole other world, I mean, it really is a whole other galaxy.
Cell phones were once a whole other world.
Exactly. And so it may not be that far off from learning what's around us. I mean, it may not be what we said it was. But at the same time, it's cool to think of that being something that could be real world. I mean, what kid didn't grow up trying to force push their brother or sister or something like that? I mean, I did.
I didn't have any, but I would be like, I can feel it. I don't have to go get the remote.
And I mean, just being honest, secretly as an adult, we do that from time to time anyways. The remote's on the other side of the room. I have to have it. I can feel it. But I mean, that would be cool. Like, I like the parallels of things. Like you said, cell phones were once a thing of the future. Tablets, all that kind of stuff. That was something that was never thought of to be possible. But it's made possible through science and through people being inspired by sci-fi fantasy kind of things of, hey, I wonder if that's possible.
Exactly.
So get on it. Harness those neutrinos. Make it happen.
Or whatever particle it...
Whatever makes it happen.
Hey, whatever makes it happen.
I need it.
So, Plagueis, right, was able to harness the midichlorians.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he was able to harness the midichlorians in that awesome opera scene, learning that story, to create life and pretty much create eternal life. His great downfall, though, was that he couldn't save his own, which I still find weird. something that I've kind of wondered about for a long time. Like, that's an amazing power to have.
Yeah, it is.
If he was truly a Sith, with Sith being self-serving, why wouldn't you find a way to do that yourself, like, to do it on yourself first? But it could be an Anakin situation where he tried to gain power to save someone. I could see that. But I don't know. Like, maybe Plagueis is still lurking out there and we really don't know it. Maybe he's Snoke. No, I'm just playing.
What if he's Snoke?
Spoiler alert, guys. No. But I mean, I love the whole, I guess, the poeticness of Darth Plagueis.
Yes.
With that whole thing of that he had this incredible ability, but unable to even save himself from his own apprentice. And so with that, just thinking, and then on top of that too, during Star Wars Celebration, Ian McDiarmid, who played Palpatine, actually confirmed, even though he says that George Lucas really didn't give him much to go on in that scene, basically said, Palpatine's a bad dude, go for it. He had said that through the way he interpreted the script and his performance, the way that Palpatine was going through telling Anakin about how he can harness the power of life through midichlorians and all this other kind of stuff, that Palpatine was pretty much telling Anakin, this is how you were created, and I created you, and things like that, which blows up a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Because we never knew how he got around, and to know that basically, and it's sad really, that he was destined to the dark side before he even knew it.
How did he do that, though? Did he, like, I mean, are there a specific type of midichlorian? Like a dark side midichlorian and a light side midichlorian?
O negative, AB positive. No,
yeah, I have no idea. So
I don't know.
My question is,
mm-hmm.
just a second. How was he destined, or was he just created and then the environment was made around him at the heart of his very being,
mm-hmm.
who created the man?
I got you. So was he born this way or was he forged?
Right.
Kind of. I like that. Okay. with Anakin, I don't know. That's because he wasn't a bad kid. I mean, he was a little irritating to some older Star Wars fans.
Well,
but
everybody was a kid at one point.
Right, right. But in with that, I think Anakin, even though he was kind of pushed to certain aversions as far as trying to save Padme and going against the Jedi Code and things like that, I almost feel like a lot of it was orchestrated,
was orchestrated.
And so in that, it was basically he was created, and then whoever had their watchful eye on him guided him from that time. So he wasn't born dark. I would agree with that. He was forged into it. Somebody definitely had a close eye on him. A Palpatine, we'll just go ahead and say it, had a close eye on him the whole time. And I think he really steered a lot of his life events that wouldn't have happened otherwise, just so that he could become who he wanted him to be.
Right. He played him from day one. And
right.
By day one, I mean, like, wow.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, he messed with that kid for a long time.
Yeah, he did.
And even so much as to be so messed up as to fill that missing father role for him.
Yes.
Knowing that the Jedi would be so scared of Anakin that they wouldn't want to grant him master. They wouldn't even want to take him in, period,
right.
Because he was too old and all this stuff. I think with knowing that, Palpatine really did fall into that role of, oh, I got you, which happens so much in real life, too. It's, oh, I'm rejected, nobody will want me. Oh, I want you, but for my purposes.
Well, he did it through the whole prequel.
Oh, yeah.
I just finished Revenge of the Sith, and, you know, his betrayal was years and years and years in the making. So it doesn't surprise me that he watched him from the moment he was conceived to, you know, but... Wow.
Oh, yeah. And Palpatine's no stranger to the long game either, because even with the comics that fill in a little bit of what Palpatine had been up to, even after Anakin became Vader and things like that, like, he was a researcher of the Force. He would find ways to imbue things that didn't normally have the Force to make them have the Force. So basically it would be the same as if he, instead of trying to find Force children, creating them. In going that route. So, I mean, he's a scary guy. That's a certain psychosis to play that long of a game and be that thorough.
One of his really cool Force powers was he was able to harness things like lightning, you know, and use it against someone. And I think that is so cool.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And that was, and I liked that in Revenge of the Sith that we finally did get to see Saber play from Palpatine, which was odd a little bit. He moved very unnaturally, and it creeped me out so much.
See, I don't see it as the movie. I see it as the the movie that just went on in my head, and it was amazing. Because, oh my gosh, when he blocked off their exit, and he's like, please, please help me. They're hurting me.
Oh, yeah.
And he smiles, and you're like, wow. That dude was amazing. That dude is, that dude is bad.
Oh, yeah. But yeah, I did like how, like you said, how he could create that Force lightning, because that's not something that we saw from a whole lot. I mean, Dooku was able to do that, but at the same time, I felt like what Palpatine was doing was different, more powerful. Because like Dooku, it seemed like it took him some energy. He had to actually expel some energy from him in order to make that happen. The way he like kind of like with his hand had to jerk it, whereas Palpatine was just hands and done. Yeah. It was unnaturally easy for him.
Right.
Which made it even creepier for him to be able to do that. Because Palpatine has always been that kind of, especially in the original trilogy, that ambiguous evil that you don't know anything about him. He's the emperor of everything. That's all you know. And he's pure evil. There's no soul to this man. There's no heart to this man. There's no redemption for this man. He's barely a man. And so that pure evil, we finally got to see a true face for him in the prequel trilogy. And then you see that grasp for power of him slowly revealing his true self, whether intentionally or unintentionally.
Can you imagine going from a career politician at the absolute best of your game? I mean, you just go and go and go and go. And then finally, you just give away all of everything, because nobody's going to love you as a politician ever again. You're never going to be charming and, you know, anymore. Mm-hmm. You've given it up for this kid. Because in order to get Anakin on his side, he had to honestly think that he was dying.
Yeah, that's true. Which is really messed up that he could just play that. Yeah,
melted his whole face over it. He's that ruthless that he could sit there and just whoosh and totally believe it. Totally believe it. He's killing me, Annie.
Oh, man. He played him so hard with
that. He did. And he even stepped up his lightning knowing that it was going to hurt him more. Just to play with his emotions.
Oh, yeah. And Anakin was susceptible to that stuff. He was very susceptible to that stuff because it didn't take much. Even before he pulled Padme into it, Anakin was already like, this is wrong. What's happening here?
Right.
And Palpatine put him in that situation to manipulate him.
Yes.
He knew step 7, 8, 9, and 10 before anybody was even to step 2.
Right.
Like, he was so ahead of it. I wonder too, because like I get that the ultimate goal, or at least what we know was the ultimate goal, was for the Emperor to rule everything. But, like, how do you come to that conclusion of that's what you want to do? Because, you know, the clone army, he had that in the works for a very long time.
Right.
With, what was his name? Darth Tyrannus, which was Dooku. Mm-hmm. He had that in the works for a long time. He had to have set this up for a very, very long time in order for that to be the ultimate goal. Like, do you just sit around and go, hey, guys, so we're going to rule the universe. This is how we're going to do it. Check you later. Right.
But it's not, to me, it's not a ruling of the universe.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's a byproduct.
Okay.
They took down a millennia of Jedi.
That's true. That's true. There were much bigger, because it was really the rise of the Sith was what was at focus, and it became something else. You're right.
And as a result, he ruled the galaxy, mm-hmm. and went, ha, 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 ha. All right. So another thing that I learned in Revenge of the Sith is, because when you see the movies where Mace Windu is explaining why Palpatine and Skywalker are too close.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So they come down off the, I don't know what the ships are called.
Okay.
But the big freighter type shit that he, ship that he landed, you know, with fins and...
Yeah, Grievous's flagship. Yeah.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So he takes this down and these three men come off of this ship, you know, more or less unharmed.
Mm-hmm.
And so Mace Windu goes into himself and centers himself in the Force and sees everything in like a crystalline type form. And there are certain things that are cracked or shine in one spot where it's mm-hmm. stronger, or, you know, it's some places are kind of occluded. It's like, but there are like fault lines that the Force shows you. And a knot of those fault lines were nestled on top of Kenobi, Skywalker, and Palpatine. And the, you know, the dark side of the Force was keeping the future, because usually he used to be able to see the future with it too,
mm-hmm.
but not so much with the dark side of the Force. And so he can't figure out what is wrong, but that's what he sees.
That's wild.
Yes. So when he's explaining that they have to, that the relationship is unhealthy and it's, mm-hmm. you know, that's why, that's what he sees.
See, some kind of version of that in the movie would have been great, because Mace Windu just kind of seemed like a jerk to the whole thing to me.
He did.
Oh no, we're not going to do this. We're not going to do this because Anakin this and he's too powerful, or he's not right. controlled enough. And it was just it always seemed like he was trying to block him for the sake of blocking him in the movies.
He did it again when he's on the balcony and mm-hmm. Anakin is behind him and he's holding Palpatine off.
Mm-hmm.
He did it again. He centered himself and he figured out that because, you know, the dark side had let him,
mm-hmm.
that, you know, Anakin wasn't built on a shatter point. He was the shatter point.
Oh, wow.
And everything that everybody had done
mm-hmm.
had put everything on him to where he just shattered.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Catch more on the next episode, and may the Force be with you.